Field administration, to some extent, has been called an administration or presidency of the wealthy. I'm wondering if you have laid out any programs in your administration currently that will provide for increasing the viability of minority business and other programs that relate to business development for minorities.
All of these things that you just mentioned there, increasing the viability of minority business and so forth, all of these are matters of the policy of an administration and what we intend to do. I've heard these charges about our supposedly being an administration for the wealthy. I don't see where they fit. We have watched the so-called social reforms for three or four decades now fail in trying to lift people that are not in the mainstream and that don't have their foot on the ladder of opportunity, and they failed. As a matter of fact, what they've created is a kind of bondage in which the people are made subservient to the government that is handing out the largest, and the only people who prosper from them is that large bureaucracy that administers them. And I believe that our economic package is aimed at stimulating the providing economy incentive, increasing productivity so as to create new jobs, and those jobs will make it possible for those people who are now economically below the norm to get a foot on the ladder and improve themselves. And as some of the other programs, that is a case of how you direct the administering of the program, such as aid to small business. And I would think, for one, the minority community and the black community has the most to gain from the development of small business within their neighborhoods. If you will compare those communities to other ethnic communities of various kinds, you will find that the money that is spent in those communities, almost from the first dollar, there is no turnover. It is spent outside that community. In the others, the dollars turn over as much as 5 and 6 times before they leave that community and go out into the general economy. And it is that turnover that multiplies the effect. And right now, the black community has about $140 billion that is not basically, even from the first dollar, being spent in their own communities. So this is one of the big targets, is to have an improvement of business there. I got to come to this side again.
As you know, the Israeli government has made the threat that it might take military action to wipe out the Syrian missiles in Lebanon. If that were to be done against our wishes, would you consider that a violation of the terms of the laws under which the Israelis have obtained those weapons?
Well, this was going to be one I'm afraid that I can't answer now as to how. I would hate to see this happen. They're offensive weapons. There's no question about the direction in which they're aimed. I'm speaking now of the Syrian weapons. This would end our prospects for trying to bring peace to Lebanon, I know. We're going to use every effort we can to see that they, on either side, that there isn't a firing of those missiles. The young lady next to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. As everyone knows, this is your first news conference since you were shot, and I think everybody has the impression that you have fully recovered. My first question is, have you fully recovered? And secondly, can you tell us how having been shot has changed you? Have you become more cautious, or are there any differences?
I have recovered. I feel fine. And the doctors say I've recovered. So if I'm a medical miracle, I'm a happy one. You can't spend your life worrying about that. I'm quite sure that there will be and have been changes in. I look back now and wonder why it didn't happen 30 times before. Changes in alertness on the part of security and so forth. But it hasn't made too much of a change in how we do, and I still want to be able to see the people and meet them.
Mr. President, Thank you. Mr. President, Secretary Haig, as you know, announced in China today that the United States is lifting its ban against lethal weapon sales to the People's Republic of China. I want to know if you would explain to the American people, please, why you decided to help the People's Republic of China rearm militarily and how you think the Soviet Union will react to your action.
Well, I don't know how the Soviet Union will react, but all we have done is, with the People's Republic of China, we've wanted to, I've said for a long time, to improve relations with them, move them to the same status of many other countries and not necessarily military allies of ours in making certain technology and defensive weapons available to them. And I think this is a normal part of the process of improving our relations there.
Yes. President, do you approve of conservative fundraising groups such as NITPAC making these expensive television commercials targeting liberal Democrats for defeat in the next election?
I don't really know how to answer that, because the game of politics is trying to win an election. And I've never seen a time when both parties have not been doing everything they can to win an election. I think one of the things that does not set too well with me is that to campaign before there is a candidate on your side means that you're campaigning totally in a negative way. And I've always believed that you campaign by stressing what it is your candidate would do and that your approval of him.
Let me follow up on that, sir. Is it really a sense of fair play that these groups with all their money are in effect ganging up on one member of Congress to make him an object lesson for other wavering congressmen who might not see things their way?
Well, I thought they were going after a gang of them. Just one won't do as much good.
President, you said earlier that you strongly oppose the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Yet at the same time, you are asking Congress to waive an American law so that Pakistan, which has refused to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, can receive $3 billion in American aid. Do we have any assurances from Pakistan that they will not seek to build an atomic bomb?
Let me just say with regard to Pakistan, and I won't answer the last part of the question, Pakistan has had a long time treaty with Pakistan and a mutual aid pact. But Pakistan is also in a very strategic position now in view of what has happened to Afghanistan. And I believe it is in our best interest to be supportive of Pakistan.
Sir, I wonder, you don't want inferior schools for soldiers, do you?
Inferior schools for soldiers? No.
They're children.
No.
Well, I didn't think you would. I'll call your attention to what's happening to the school impacted aid program under your reductions. And you're going to have some schools near military bases that are supposed to educate the children of soldiers that are going to be in a very hard-hit way unless some new formula. I was wondering if you couldn't find a new formula for taking care of the children of the poor soldiers.
Well, Ms. McLennan, I think what you're going to find is this is one of the things I talked about in my opening statement. This is one of the things in the committee in Congress that has been a cut that we did not put in our program while we were going to reduce impacted aid in those areas where, see, impacted aid is for, like a military base where the people are not taxpayers, not property owners, where they come in temporarily and their children then are put as an added burden on the local system. But we have been having impacted aid for a long time to areas where the people are permanent residents, but government employees, but they are homeowners and they are property taxpayers and so forth. On the other, what has happened now is in this same way, we see them putting into effect cuts that they know cannot last. In other words, we think it is designed to really destroy, in a sense, the program that we're trying to implement. And in putting these cuts in, this drastic cut that has been proposed in impact aid, which would do what you have said, we're hoping that the congressman, that in the budget committee they will correct some of those things that have been done. And if not, then, as I said, we'll go along with those congressmen, many of them Democrats, who want to put in a substitute bill, and they then meet the Senate bill in a conference committee.
Mr. President, how do you assess the current situation in Poland? And the second part of that is whether the warming up of relations, especially in the strategic military area with China, has any connection in your mind with events in Poland?
No, I don't see any connection between China and what's going on in Poland. I think the Poland situation is going to be very tense for quite some time now. The Soviet Union is faced with the problem of this crack in their once iron curtain, and what happens if they let it go. But on the other hand, what is going to be the impact if they take a forceful action? The impact on the rest of the world, I think, would be tremendous in the reaction that would come from all the...
There was a list being made up by the Pentagon of weapons which might be supplied to China in the event that the Soviets invaded Poland. There has been a connection drawn by General Haig and others that one way to deter the Soviets in Poland is to make it clear that they might have to pay by increased American aid to China. Does that exist in your
mind? Well, now, these might have been contingencies that were discussed. Certainly, they are not policy in our administration. Now, you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Returning once to that question on the lifting of the lethal arms sales shipments to China, does that affect in any way our relationship with Taiwan? And if so, how? Does that move us in any direction, either to or away from the government of Taiwan?
No, and I have not changed my feeling about Taiwan. We have an act, a law called the Taiwan Relations Act, that provides for defensive equipment being sold to Taiwan, as well as other things in the relationship, and I intend to live up to the Taiwan Relations Act.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Sam, you told me that it was all right about walking away from all those upraised hands, and I have to tell you, it still bothers me very much. I'm sorry that we can't answer all the questions.
You will, sir.
No, I know I can. I know I can, and I'm sorry for the rest of it.
Okay. So, President Reagan winds up his news conference and we'll try to pick up some of what he's saying.
You have just a bunch of wealthy and selfish advisors.
One more. Wouldn't you know that Sam Donaldson would be the one? Sam says, quoted, "Why didn't you do that earlier?" Said that Tip O'Neill has said that I don't know anything about the working man. I'm trying to find out something about his boyhood, because we didn't live on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, but we lived so close to him we could hear the whistle real loud, and I know very much about the working group. I grew up in poverty and got what education I got all by myself and so forth, and I think it is sheer demagoguery to pretend that this economic program which we've submitted is not aimed at helping the great cross-section of people in this country that have been burdened for too long by big government and high taxes. The from $10,000 to $50,000 or $60,000 covers certainly all the middle class, and they pay 72% of the tax, and 73% of our tax relief or more is going to that bracket of workers. And we're going to do our utmost to keep that bottom rung of the ladder clear for those people that haven't yet started the climb. That's something we could think about.
So there you have an example of a president who was all ready to answer a question that nobody asked him during the news conference, and just as he was leaving, Sam Donaldson of ABC said, "Well, what about Speaker O'Neill saying you don't know anything about the working man?" That was a question that was posed. Mr. Reagan had apparently, obviously, had given that a good deal of thought and wanted to comment on it, and so he came back to the podium and made his response. As expected, the president opened this news conference today, in case you tuned in late, by really holding the Congress's feet to a summer fire, saying the time had come to stop delaying, and called on them to pass his tax cut program and his economic package. He said only then would all of us here in Washington, meaning official Washington, then deserve to take a rest during August. Otherwise, not a lot of news today. That's our report. I'm Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Washington.